Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Prada, and it's been a while, but we are back. We've got the 2022 U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts, going this week. And very exciting. So far this season, golf has been going very well. Hit five outrights, up pretty close to about 17 units on the year, so doing well. And just overall, feeling good. A lot of the players that I kind of thought would take next steps have taken big jumps. One of them being Scottie Scheffler, which has been pretty nice. Hit that Masters outright, which was very exciting. And now we've got the U.S. Open, which it's always one of my favorites just because it's normally a bloodbath. And I find whenever pros can look like normal everyday golfers, I find it a lot more enjoyable to watch. But looking good. So just a little bit into the course. So originally it used to have incredibly tiny greens, and then Gil Hance did his restoration on it, and they were expanded. Yet these are still super tiny compared to the rest of the U.S. Open rota, which means that what I'm prioritizing is I think around the green means a little bit more this week. So. Because like the raised rough and players will be missing greens a little bit more often, that it, I think there is going to be an element of luck involved, but some very squirrely lies, and honestly just, you know, late Sunday someone could just barely even miss and they could just get mega boned by the by like a rough lie. But it could come down to luck, but just elite iron play and good chipping, I think, is what's going to sort of separate. The other thing that is pretty unique about this course is, so the first couple holes were built on an older racetrack, and so the land is very flat, but the rest of the fairways and kind of as you move around the course, it's just insanely, insanely undulated. And so I think that, like, I'm kind of gravitating towards players who exhibit a little more imagination with, like, irons and people who can move the ball left or right in the air. So, like, prime example of that is Jordan Spieth. You know, he can hit every shot, and he's been showing that he can do it throughout the season. So that's just a little sneak peek to the first outright bet I made. But it really makes me want to avoid just the straight TrackMan golfers who just stock shot, and they can't really... Or they, not that they can't, but they just have a little bit more of a hard time kind of maneuvering their way around the course. And I think that because this is going to be a lot different than your general tour stop, like what we saw last week, like that's just as target golf as it gets, especially Sunday, my goodness. But so I think it's going to play really tough, as it normally does. Final score, I'd expect it to be in the -5 to -8 range. I think there's going to be about 10 to 25 people under par. That's just kind of my guess. So very excited. But before I get into the top of the board and the outrights that I will be on, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right, thank you to Anchor. So to the top of the board we go. The favorite this week is Rory McIlroy. Winner last week, I completely understand why he's the favorite. He's off a win. He is absolutely killing the ball, especially off the tee. And I mean, in terms of probably the most public bet this week, it's hard to imagine it's anyone else other than Rory. But man, he has a lot going on. Just with all of the LIV Golf stuff, it's probably the only questions he's being asked this week. And it's just kind of like, you know, he's got a whole lot of responsibility as basically the leader of the PGA Tour players, especially when Jay Monahan, the commissioner of PGA Tour, just is kind of nowhere to be seen, really. And honestly, I think he might have blown his load his theoretical golf load this past week. But and I think he could be pressing for a win here. I turned on Golf Channel for a little bit, just kind of see how the practice rounds were going, and it showed him on the green, and he was like losing his mind over this missed 15 footer that he took a couple tries on. And if he's getting that worked up over something like that, then I think he's going to be pressing really hard, and I think that could make the floor of his tournament insanely low. If you're living and dying by every single shot, and I have a hard time backing him here. Another thing is that his caddy missed the tournament last week because his wife had a child. So I think there could potentially be issues in terms of just his prep for everything. I don't really know if he was there the week in advance. It's their second child, so I would guess that he was. But it's just something else to monitor. And this is not to say that Rory can't win. He is the favorite for a reason. But I think that his floor is so, so low this week. And so as there is, I'm just going to leave it there as a teaser for what something I'm betting later on. Second favorite, Justin Thomas. In my opinion, he is the second best golfer alive. The switch to bones on his bag has been everything it was hyped up to be. He continues to have just elite irons and wedges. And now he's putting and is around the green as sharp as it's ever been. And he's still killing the ball off the tee. Now, I mean, of course, he runs into the issues when he gets a little squirrely off the tee, just in terms of misses. But especially here, that could present some significant issues. But so far this year, it has not been too much of an issue. I mean, just seeing as the run he's been on this season. So I don't really want to bet him at 12-1. So I'm just staying away. And now we get to who I think is the best golfer in the world, and that's Scottie Scheffler. 14-1 for him. In my mind, he does everything Justin Thomas does, except he is more accurate off the tee. And also, he is just a phenomenal fit here. He's shown he can maneuver his way around a course. He hits it very far, so he'll be able to play the little bomb and gouge game that the U.S. Open normally brings. And he has... quite possibly next to Cameron Smith, the best short game on the tour right now. I'm sure that could be debated, but he's certainly on that short list. And my way to kind of attack him is that he's in the second of the afternoon wave Thursday, so I'm going to wait until, you know, we get a couple rounds in the clubhouse, see if someone jumps out to a big early lead, and then hopefully I'm thinking that his price is going to fall a little bit, and I'll add him live. John Rahm kind of rounds out this tier. He's 15-1. If you told me I think John Rahm's the best ball striker in the world, I would not argue with you. I think that's got a great case for it. I just don't bet him. He can't putt. He could certainly win just based on his ball striking alone, but with the way his short game, the state it's in, it's just been a mess. And he's alive to win for sure, but it's just not for me. So 15-1, I'm staying away. Who I'm staying away for or fading? Rory, as I explained above, just think that the floor is craterous. And then I think this was pretty funny. I saw this today. So Colin Morikawa, who's not exactly been having his greatest season ever, played very well at the Masters though. But his swing could just be a mess right now. So normally he's known for just hitting a very tight fade, tight cut. And there was a report that came out that said that all of a sudden he is drawing everything and he and his coach have no idea why. And I think the week of the US Open, I think that matters quite a bit. So that's all I needed to even. And honestly, I was kind of eyeing this. I saw Colin 30-1 today, which normally I'd be all over that. Just not for me. Not for me when he has no idea. Essentially, for what I would describe for an elite pro like him, that he just doesn't know where the ball is going. So that was enough for me to stay away. And then I have a group of four who I'm going to probably use a harsh word that doesn't need to be said, but I'm going to take a stand. Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, and Victor Hovland. This word I'm thinking of, losers. All four of them, with the exception of Cantlay, just because he won big tournaments towards the end of last year. And he might have as many wins as the rest of them combined. But this does apply to him in majors. And they are immensely talented players. And they are just so disappointing, week in, week out. No thank you. There's like something to like, I've got like a bone to pick with all of them, it feels like. And like a guy like Patrick Cantlay, for example, I feel like I've bet him so much, it's just a waste. And on top of the fact that like he barely plays, And so I think that could be part of the issue. Granted, he has like medical issues that kind of preclude him from playing a more packed schedule than some of the other people here. But I just, those four, as high price as they are, I just can't get to the window. So, but here are my bets for the 2022 U.S. Open. And I alluded to him earlier, Jordan Spieth, 28-1. He's been hitting the ball as well as he ever has. And despite how stressful it can be to watch, he gets the ball in the hole. And ultimately, especially at the U.S. Open, that's what you need to do. So he has the magic short game that he can rely on, minus the putting this year. Granted, he is off. I think his last start, he gained 5 strokes putting. And that if he can, I mean, look, I'm not going to be greedy and ask for that. But, I mean, if he can just be an average putter, a little above average putter, he's going to be so live just with the way he's been driving the ball, hitting with his irons. And then finally, he's got the imagination that just so many people don't have. He can hit it left to right. He can hit it right to left. And he can find fairways when he needs to. He's also got the Justin Thomas disease of being a little squirrely with the driver at times. But I think 28-1 is great value. And I think that he should be priced much closer to 20 or even lower than that. So Jordan Spieth, 28-1, my first bet. Second, Joaquin Niemann, 37-1. Full disclosure, I have 60 just from a future. I bet it the week before Riviera, which was very good timing. And this year he's added a really good short game to just his very exciting ball striking package. And just like Spieth, he's a guy who can shape a whole bunch of different shots. He hits that stinger that he's kind of known for. And he can move left to right, right to left. And at this course, it's going to be so valuable. And he's a guy who, like, if I just need you to hit the middle of the green, I'm very confident he can. So, and we've seen him thrive at difficult courses before. So, Joaquin Niemann, 37-1. Will Zalatoris, 35-1. Now, I will absolutely hear the argument that he applies to the group of four that I listed and called losers. But I think that that dam could break any moment now, and he could just start rattling off wins with ease. The putting is so sketchy, and it's just very hard to watch. But he is one of the premier ball strikers on tour right now. I think 35-1 is generous, and it's really only 35-1 because he hasn't won yet, which I think that's a pretty dumb reason for that. And it took Scottie Scheffler a long time to start winning tournaments, and then he rattled off 5. I kind of see a similar career arc with Zalatoris, and I think that if he doesn't miss any of those sketchy little 2-3-footers, then he's going to find himself in contention on Sunday. Short game is good. Iron's elite, and he hits the crap out of the ball off the tee. So, now, if we don't see that, or, I mean, I'm sure we will see the figure eight putt stroke, but just if we can avoid the harm that it brings, then I think he's going to absolutely be around Sunday. Sam Burns, 40-1. The guy wins. I grabbed an early 40 earlier this week. I think I saw 38 a little bit ago, right before I hit record. But he wins. And at 40-1, I think it's just ridiculous. As good and well-rounded of a player that he is, he hits it far, and he's a good course fit. And so that was just one I bet, just based on a number. And then I did talk about this Scottie Scheffler live look. I'm just going to look for probably like a 15-16 or better. I'm not going to get too greedy there. So, and I did bet him to be top 5. A couple long shots I have. Aaron Wise, 100-1. He was a very highly touted amateur for like 3, 4, 5 years ago. And he's just overcome just serious putting issues and has thrown together some really solid finishes as of late. He hits the ball very well and accurate and far. And his last 4 events, he's gained strokes on approach in all 4 of them. So I think 100-1 is pretty good value there, just in terms of like his talent level compared to the rest of the field. And then finally, I'm going to add Siwoo Kim, 160-1. He does not hit it far, but he's also not like a bunter either, but he does find fairways, and he's really just been kind of like consistent all year. Like, he's missed like 2 or 3 cuts over the course of the full season, but it's a lot of like 40ths, 50ths, you know, like a T13 here and there. And but he's got so much win equity for someone at 160-1, and he's one of players, which that's generally one of the most stacked, like, competition wise events of the year. So if he's in contention, like, it wouldn't shock me. Like, it's 161 bet, so it's just a little bit of a long shot. Like, it's fine. And finally, the last person I'm adding here is Keita Nakajima. He is the number one ranked amateur in the world right now from Japan. I've not been able to win outright. I saw, 500-1 earlier this week. But he's just immensely talented, and I think his game sets up well for US Open. I was able to grab early placement prices, so I bet T5, T10, and T20. However, as the prices currently stand, I think I would only bet T20. I saw 22-1. So Keita Nakajima, that's just where I'm at, looking there. And then finally, to miss the cut, Rory McIlroy. He just has a lot going on, and I think that with just what's been going on the last 2 weeks, it's just a whole lot to be thinking about, and I just don't know if the preparation will necessarily be there. And the last thing you want to be doing is to, like, feeling like you have to fire at pins or anything, or, like, have to take aggressive shots from the rough. And I think that could just create so much more trouble, and we could potentially see some big, big numbers for Rory. So that was plus 550 for Rory to miss the cut. There's a couple of others I'm mulling over. Sung Jae-im, top 10. Tom Hoagie, top 20. Ryan Fox, top 20. Haven't yet, but I will add them to the tweeted spreadsheet that you can find at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter if I do end up betting them. So I will be sure to let you guys know. Thank you guys for listening. Do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and hit that follow button on Spotify. Thank you guys very much, and let's go win some money and hit another outright, number 6.